Good morning, it's Brother John. Well, here we are again doing virtual church. And I pray that you're tuning in and that you're listening and have the Word of God ready. If you do have your Bibles or digital device, whatever you have, or if you just want to read off the screen, that's fine. But we are still in John's Gospel in chapter 6. And today we're going to be talking about Jesus, the bread of life. I'm going to read a number of verses in just a moment, starting in verse 22 through 35, and then I'll drop down to verse 47 and go through verse 60. But as you remember in our study so far, remember in John 2, Jesus turned the water into wine, and then the second miracle that he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda who had been an invalid for 38 years. In our chapter 6, current chapter, he fed 5,000 people, and then he walked on water. And today he is going to say he is the great I Am, which means he is God in the flesh, and also he is the bread of life. Now, in John's Gospel, there are seven signs that we will be seeing throughout the Gospel, and those signs are the I Am statements that Jesus made. And when you have the I Am statement, it goes all the way back to Exodus when Moses asked God, well, who do I say sent me? And he said, God said, tell them I am. Now, what we're going to see today is Jesus will say he is the bread of life. And then in chapter 8, you're going to see he says, I am the light of the world. And then you go to chapter 10, and he said, I am the good shepherd. And then you go to chapter 11, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then you go to chapter 14, which almost everyone knows what he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except he come through me. And then in John 15, he said, I am the true vine. So we're going to see all of those things in the upcoming chapters and the few chapters that we've already looked at. But let me start by reading our text to you, and it's rather lengthy. Again, starting in John chapter 6, verse number 22. On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except the one which Jesus' disciples had entered, and Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do, that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now drop down to verse 47. Because that the next text between these I'm going to have to unpack next week. So again, down to verse 47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this text. There's so much there. And Lord, I just pray that we would be able to unpack it and people could understand these very difficult sayings of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you that he truly is the bread of life. And Father, we can partake of him and live forever. And I pray now, Lord, that you would just help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, because Jesus fed the 5,000, some people left and others continued to come, because you have to put yourself in that time frame. People struggle to have enough food to eat. Today, here in America, we almost all have enough food and more to eat. Our pantries are full, our refrigerators are full, and if they do become somewhat empty, we run to the grocery store and replenish that food supply. And it's a very simple thing for us, but it was a very complex thing for them because food was so difficult to come by. And also some of the sayings that Jesus said here about eating flesh and drinking blood, you might be thinking, wow, that sounds kind of like a vampire or a cannibal. That's a terribly difficult statement and kind of really almost pushes me over the edge. Well, imagine if you were there that day hearing that in person, how you would have felt. Because in these 66 verses, the people became so offended by Jesus that the mob just absolutely left him, and the crowd just melted away like snow under a hot sun. And by the end of this day, they would almost all leave him. And the unusual thing is, the day before, they were prepared to make him their king, and now they think he's a kook. In less than 24 hours, Jesus went from hero to zero. And to understand what Jesus said, I'm going to break it down. And it goes from the physical to the spiritual. And if you miss that, then you kind of misinterpret what's being said here. And Jesus is using symbolic language. This isn't literally the bread that he's talking about is not bread of physical life, but it's bread of spiritual life, eternal life, bread that you partake of that lasts forever. And what I want to do today is share two major thoughts and then some sub-points to help you understand those. First, I want to show you how Jesus is like bread, and then I want to show you how Jesus is like manna. So first, Jesus is the bread because he satisfies our deepest needs. The mob was looking basically for another free meal, and Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In verse number 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus was such a great teacher because he took the most simple concepts and he broke them down to teach profound truths through these. Bread is the most common food on earth. And Jesus even said in his model prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." So we need to understand bread, it sustains us, and more people eat bread in the world than any other source. Now, there are two kinds of hunger that I want to share with you. First off, there is the hunger, the physical hunger, from food that spoils. Now, we live in a hungry world, and people in Haiti and in parts of Africa and other parts of the world are absolutely starving to death. But you think about it in a larger context, not just in human nature, but also in all of creation. Every creature has their mouth open, wanting to be fed, from the smallest bird in a nest to the largest eagle soaring in the sky, from the smallest minnow that you could find in the town branch here to the largest whale in the ocean. From the mouse who is nibbling on crumbs to the mighty elephant who is foraging in the jungle, every creature has to be fed. And most creatures, if you've watched any National Geographic or anything else about the animal kingdom, you notice that animals devote almost all of their time looking and searching, trying to find food. But here's the thing. Physical food only satisfies for a short period of time. That's why we have to keep on eating. And we say about some food that it's perishable, and then we say some is non-perishable. But basically, every food is perishable. I remember being in the military, and we had what we called MREs when we would go in the field. And an MRE stood for meals ready to eat. But we also, one time we went out in the field, we didn't have MREs. We had C rations that were from World War II. Now, I was a little picky concerning those because there is a shelf life on everything that we have. So, when you say non-perishable food, everything will perish. The bottom line, however, is this. Physical hunger continues, and we have to continue eating to be satisfied. The second thought under Jesus is the bread that satisfies our deepest need is this. We all have a spiritual hunger for food that will endure. And as human beings, we have a different kind of hunger than the animal kingdom. We were created with a spirit. And that spiritual hunger is there. In fact, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:14 that God has placed within the human heart the desire for eternity. And I remember studying in philosophy class many years ago of some of the great philosophers. And we try to satisfy our longing with about anything imaginable, and mankind has always done that. Blaise Pascal was a great philosopher in the 1600s, and he was a lost man, and he tried to fill his life with almost everything imaginable until he had this dramatic conversion experience. And the rest of his life, he wrote about loving God and knowing God, and he had some very powerful writings that he wrote, and he wrote this, and I want to quote, and he's talking about the search for happiness, because we are all searching for happiness, but happiness is so elusive. And he said these words: "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which can be filled, which cannot be filled with any created thing but by God the Creator, made known through His Son, Jesus Christ." And you know, as you study the Bible, the Bible is full of stories of people who were seeking something and they could not find true satisfaction until they came into that relationship with Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can have that loving relationship with our Creator. David, the psalmist, sang in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God." And then he also wrote in Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth besides you that I desire. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I remember as a young boy, we used to sing this chorus, and I haven't heard it in a long, long time, but it went like this: "You're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need." You see, only the bread that comes down from heaven satisfies our deepest needs. The second thing I want to share with you from our text is Jesus is like manna. And the reason is He saves us from our worst fate. Jesus considered manna to come down from heaven. It was bread from heaven. In fact, He said in verse 32 and 33 these words: "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And then watch this. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the whole world. Now, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, and you have to understand, they could have died from hunger, would have died from hunger, because they couldn't forage for enough food there. The food source just wasn't present. So God supplied their need with manna that came down from heaven. In Exodus chapter 16, we read the manna appeared like every single morning, like dew. It was white, and it was round, and it tasted kind of like wafers with honey. And actually this morning for breakfast, I ate Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. And I thought about those Frosted Flakes as manna. And you think about it, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, Tony the Tiger, what does he say? What does he say? They're great. Well, the manna from heaven was great for a short period of time, but then the Hebrews began to complain about that. I mean, imagine the first morning it's there. They are so excited. They have food. The second morning, they're excited. They have food. But they asked this question. They said, manna means, what is it? Manha, what is it? And that's what they named it. What is it? And we read in Numbers that they ate this manna for 40 years, every single day for 40 years. They got so tired of manna, they complained to high heaven about the manna that God had provided them. So, I want to show you four ways that Jesus is like manna. First, manna came down from heaven. And Jesus said, your ancestors ate the manna and they died. But the manna from heaven only kept them alive physically from starvation. It did not provide eternal life for them. And then Jesus said in verse number 51, He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if anyone eats this bread, He's talking about Himself, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, starving to death is a terrible fate, but there's something worse than starving to death. And that is not taking the bread of life and spending an eternity separated from God in a horrible place called hell. And Jesus came down from heaven to prevent that from happening. And it's interesting to say, Jesus, that He came down from heaven, just as the manna came down from heaven. There's a lot of people that have moved into Salem, Arkansas, and there are a lot of people moving into our community now. And they may come from Blytheville, they may come from out of state, they may come from California or Illinois or Idaho, they can come from all over. But no one who moves to Salem, Arkansas can state this factually, I came down from heaven. Only Jesus came down from heaven. So that's one way that Jesus is like manna. The second way is this. The manna was free. The Israelites didn't have to grow it. They didn't have to work it. They didn't have to plant it. God gave it to them, and He gave it to them every single day. They didn't have to pay for it. They didn't have to say, God, here's what I'm going to pay for the manna that you brought down from heaven. They also didn't deserve it. It was a free gift that God gave, just like salvation is a free gift that Jesus gives us. And many people that you talk to, they'll make this statement, I'm going to heaven. And you ask them, why are you going to heaven? And they'll say, because I do good deeds. Or they'll say, because I try to keep the Ten Commandments. Or I try to be a good neighbor. But Jesus said the only work that you can perform to receive eternal life is one word. That's believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's what the jailer said in Acts 16 when Paul asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So belief is the concept. And Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, what we earn by our works, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the manna is like Jesus. It comes down from heaven. The manna is like Jesus, or Jesus like the manna. And that the manna has to be, it's free. And the third thing about manna, it has to be received. You see, God didn't just put the manna in the mouth of the Israelites and say, here it is. It appeared on the ground every morning, and they had to go out and they had to gather it up. And the manna would nourish them for that particular day. And they had to open their mouths. They had to receive it into their bodies. Now listen, there's a powerful principle that I don't want you to miss here. You must receive Jesus before you can experience eternal life. In John's Gospel in chapter 1 and verse 12, it said, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now listen, you can believe all of the facts about Jesus, but that's not the same. You can still be lost believing that Jesus was virgin born, believing that Jesus died on the cross, believing that Jesus rose from the dead. You can believe all of those things, but listen to me. Christianity isn't believing a creed. Christianity is receiving into our being a Savior. So, Jesus is like manna. He saves us from our worst fate. He's like manna that he came down from heaven. He's like manna, it's free. It's like manna, it had to be received. And fourthly, it's like manna, he's like manna because we have to be replenished. You see, manna was supplied every single day, but it couldn't be stored up. The only exception was you could store it up on Friday for the Sabbath day, and then miraculously God would allow it to exist for that day so the Jewish people could be fed. In fact, when you think about manna, And you realize that in the Ark of the Covenant, there was a bowl of manna that was kept there that never aged and it did not perish. Now, there's a powerful principle concerning that also, and that is the principle of salvation. Salvation is a miracle that comes from heaven. When you receive Jesus into your life, you're saved. You don't need to be saved again and again and again. You need to be born again through the Word of God, and then you need to stay in the Word of God to stay spiritually healthy. In fact, you need to do a devotional every day. And here at the church, we have these little booklets called Our Daily Bread. Now, let me just try to illustrate this as I prepare to close. What it means to be the bread of life. I think for you to maybe understand it, and this flesh, eat my flesh, drink my blood concept, let me break it down by using this. You might not be able to see this very well, but this is a stone. And this will not sustain your life. You cannot chew this stone and it will do any good for your life. That's a stone to walk on, a stone to throw, but it's not anything that will sustain you. So first, I could say this is bread, and you'd say, "No, John, that's a stone. That's not going to help sustain my life." But then I could say, "This is bread." And you'd say, "Yeah, that is bread." And what you would have to do, you would have to trust that this is bread. And the second thing after you trust that it's bread, you have to receive the bread. So you have to ingest it. And once you ingest it into your mouth, that goes down into your body, into your stomach, and it begins to be broken down. But the first thing you had to do is believe that it was bread. Then you had to receive the bread into you. And finally, you have to allow that bread to strengthen you. Because what happens when you eat that bread, it goes down into your stomach, and it begins to be broken down by the enzymes that are in your stomach. And then it's taken by your blood, your cells into your body, and strengthens your body. And just as Jesus is the bread of life, so we must take him into our lives. And we need a daily dose of that. So let me circle back around why this analogy is so forcefully. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And what he was doing, he was demanding that we must eat his flesh and drank his blood. And the people on the surface were so offended, they left him. But what he was saying is this: you must become all that I am. You must receive me into your life. I must be the primary focus of your life. I am not just your creator, I am your sustainer. I am the Word that became flesh and dwelt among you. And Jesus said, you must continually take me into your life to be spiritually strong. So what does that mean? It means this. You need a daily dose of the Word of God to stay spiritually strong. Just as if I did not eat physical food for days on end, I would become very weak. But by taking the Word of God in every day, I become strong. If I don't take it in, I become very weak. Because when you take the Word of God in, you receive that Word. What it does, it strengthens you, and you're never the same again. So, when Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," he was saying, ingest the Word of God. Now, I hope this has been clear to you, and I hope that you will take a daily dose of Jesus, because if you're a believer, a born-again believer, you need to be strengthened in the Word. The second thing is, if you've never taken Jesus into your life, you need to receive Him into your life now, because it's a free gift, His shed blood. You've got to receive it, and then once you receive, you need to be replenished for your own strength. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, for all that you do in our lives. Help us to receive Jesus with all that we are, that we can become all that he desires us to be. Thank you for your saving free gift. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.